The meeting is called to order of the KPFA LSB for July, for June, It's June 11th and it is 11:20 a.m. Roll call.
Okay, good morning. Good morning, everyone. Going down the list, Adams.
Here.
Adams is here. Alderson, I am here. Campisi.
Here.
Campisi is here. Edwards Tiekert.
Here.
Edwards Tiekert is here. Fest.
Here.
Fest is here. Fuentes.
Here.
Fuentes is here remotely. Futrin. Futrin is not here. Goen. Goen.
So, I'm sure it sounded like
he
said Dawn. I'm here.
Dawn ain't gone. She's here, remote, correct? Hernandez?
Here, remote.
Hernandez is here, remotely. Jacobs?
Here, remote.
Jacobs is here, remotely. Coburn?
Present.
Coburn is here. Lynch? Lynch is not here. That's David Lynch. Tim Lynch? Tim Lynch is not here. Moore? Moore is here. Morgan?
Morgan is not here and has requested an excused absence.
Olson? Olson is not here. Scruggs?
Here.
Okay, Scruggs is here. Sterling?
Here.
Sterling is here. Tao Nichols? Tao Nichols is not here. Thompson? Thompson is here. Travis is here. Whipperman?
Here.
Whipperman is here. White? White is not here. Wilkinson?
I'm here.
Wilkinson is here. Withers is not here. And, is Withers
Rich?
Nope, he's not here. And McCoy is here. Okay. So that is 17. I don't know whether I should count the remote folks as part of the quorum.
Well,
do we have a quorum without it?
We have a quorum without them.
1, 2, 3, 4. That gives us, it gives us 13 present personally, so that's a quorum for sure. And 7 absent. So we have a quorum. Okay.
Yes, Brian.
I move to excuse all absences.
That's it.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? No, seeing none. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, the first thing, the agenda. We have printed agendas. Do I have a motion to accept the agenda? Okay.
Order.
Yes.
The next thing on our
The
next thing on our prospective agenda is remote participation for today's meeting.
Yeah, well, that makes it awkward. But
doesn't it?
It does. So, because we got to approve the agenda to do that agenda, so it's a contradiction. Let's approve the agenda with that being the second item. Was there a second?
I second.
Okay. All in favor, or is there any additions or changes to the agenda?
I'd like to propose a change.
Okay.
Item 10, report on May 22nd retreat. I'm surprised that's only penciled in for 10 minutes. I don't know that much of anything could be accomplished in 10 minutes, so I'd propose that it be 30 minutes.
Okay, those are all just estimated times. They're not fixed, but okay. Is there a second for that?
Sure.
Okay. All in all in favor of the amendment to make the estimated start, estimated time for that item 30 minutes instead of 10, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
You can't vote yet. So that's the now we have the amended agenda. I want to say that Tim Lynch has arrived, and Sasha Futrin. Oh, yeah. Okay. And I've returned. So on the amended agenda, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So the next item on the agenda is the remote participation and Sharon, I believe, sent out a version of that, and that's something that we've been looking at for a couple of months.
Point of information.
And Janet wants to talk.
I have a point of information. Okay. So there is that item. That's number 3, and then there's also item 14A. What is the difference, if any?
We'll find out, Craig.
Well, I think the purpose of number 3 just was for today's meeting, and we can talk about the policy in general when we get to that item farther down the agenda, right? But for until we get there, let's figure out how we're going to incorporate our folks remotely.
And if it goes so that what we decide in this portion impacts that, that may disappear. Brian.
I saw Sharon send out a revise of the detailed policy proposal like an hour ago. Does anybody have printouts? I think we're starting to lose time by revisiting this at the start of every meeting, and I think we should, like, everyone's had time to look at it. We should dispose of the permanent standing policy issue soon.
Yeah.
I don't know. I saw a couple things there that I'd like to propose tweaking, but I don't know if we can do it if we don't have it on paper in front of us because it's lengthy. I could run to the station and print on a recess if we wanted to.
Well, you have to speak with the microphone if you're going to speak. Well, they have to know you want to speak.
Okay, this is Margie.
And you have to be recognized.
Hello, this
Margie.
Is Margie. Am I on? Okay. If we just moved it past approval of the agenda, approval of the minutes, announcements, and public comments so that it comes just before the general manager's report, then somebody could go and make some copies. That would give Brian, for example, time to go to the station and make copies. How about that? Just move the remote participation and take up both parts.
I have a motion.
Okay.
Brian.
I move that we continue for this meeting the remote participation policies in effect at our last meeting, and that we suspend the rules in order to take up 14A, which is the standing policy, immediately after the scheduled break.
Got it. I second.
So that would take 2/3.
Okay. Anyway. Okay. So I don't understand what that was, but if everybody else does, that's cool.
Say it again, Brian.
And you have to write it down or not.
So for this meeting? Keep the same remote participation
and what
policies
is that?
We had at last meeting.
And what is that?
They get to talk.
They get to talk but not vote.
Right.
Okay.
And to suspend the rules in order to take up item 14A immediately after our break. 14A is the permanent policy.
Okay. Is there a second? Okay, and I need 2/3 because we're changing the agenda after we accepted it. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Good, it's done. Okay. So Now, we are at minutes.
So just make sure that the remote folks know what their status is.
So you all know what your status is remotely, right? You heard? They heard. I already checked that they heard. I'm not going to go every time do that. Okay. let's see. Approve the minutes. Craig had sent out the minutes.
I move to approve the minutes.
Moved and seconded. Okay, see nobody raising their hands to correct the minutes. All those in favor of approving the minutes, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Approved. Great. Abstentions? None. Opposition? None. None. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks. Okay. Announcements. Announcements. Brian.
KPFA Arts Fair is next weekend. It's the second year of our newest and second largest event fundraiser. It's at the Craneway Pavilion in Richmond. There's a free shuttle from BART. There's free parking. The door is free this year. And it is a beautiful, beautiful place. It's also right on a bike path and walking trail along the bay,
nice,
if you prefer non-motorized transportation. And I would encourage everybody to come out.
Other announcements?
I have a mouthful, but I have an announcement.
On June 19th, Berkeley will hold its annual Juneteenth celebration in South Berkeley. The streets are blocked off from the Ashby BART station to Alcatraz. There are two stages, many performers, and lots of tables, all kinds of community information. And I urge people to attend. It's a really terrific event. And it draws people from all over the Bay Area, but I think it draws largely from Berkeley. June 19th, starts at noon. Is that right? 11, noon 11, something like that. 11 o'clock on Adeline, South Berkeley, between Alcatraz and the Ashby BART station.
Other announcements?
Jose Luis.
Jose Luis, go for it.
Okay. June 14th at 5 p.m. at the Oakland City Council, the Public Safety Committee will be entertaining a charter amendment being proposed by Oakland community members from the Coalition of Police Accountability and Pueblo and other organizations trying to have a police commission to supervise and oversee the Oakland Police Department. We ask anyone and everyone to come out on June 14th, 5 p.m., Oakland City Council.
Did people understand that?
Commission.
Okay, good. All right. Other announcements. What was that? okay. Public comments.
All right there, Carol.
And Ramses Tana Nichols has arrived.
Sasha, he may want to sit there, Sasha.
Okay. I'm Carol Wolfley, and I wanted to thank all the programmers and staff for their excellent coverage of the primary, California primaries. It was a really intense day, I'm sure, for everyone. There was great cross-country and cross-station collaborations, and I thought that was really wonderful, and including reporting of the many irregularities. We did get some comments about early in the morning when they first announced that there was the AP statement that Hillary had clinched things, that there was some concern that there wasn't clarification about that right away, but later on during the day there was. And I think that it's really helpful to have posting about the coverage, because this is such a great opportunity right now. People are waking up and questioning and searching for answers. I know Chris Hedges has called for shutting down the Democratic Convention with Sherry Hongkala and others from the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign, and people with that organization are connected with the Homelessness Marathon. And it seems to me that one way to help Pacifica right now is to work with other affiliates and stations to really build on this tremendous wave of intense concern that is going around on in our country around politics and the crises that we're in. Thank you.
Okay. I don't have the list. I think they wanted you to say hello, if you're Michael.
Is that working? Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to introduce myself. I'm Michael Sukoff. I've just been nominated by the CAB to serve on CAB. So, and I'm going to try and stay as long as I can, but I just wanted
to.
What did I say?
Nominated.
Recommended. Okay. I don't have the legalese down yet. Anyway, I've been a listener and supporter of KPFA from off and on for many years, and I really love the alternative information and cultural and other programming that the station provides, and I'd like to give back. So I don't want to take up a lot of time, but I'm a sociologist. I'm also erstwhile political activist, and I'm very interested in the media and how issues get covered, particularly in the mainstream media. And you know, I've lived in this community for a long time. If you have any questions, I'll just leave that open for now. I don't want to go on and on. Thank you.
Thank you. Brian?
I move we appoint Michael Sukoff to the Community Advisory Board.
That's not a proper motion right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Right.
Yes.
We're on.
Yeah, no problem with that.
Right.
I was, in fact, my name is Rich, so I'm also a present member of the Community Advisory Board, and I had a couple subjects I was to cover, and I was going to, you know, actually emphasize, you know, what Brian is about ready to do, and that is to nominate him. When during the community input meeting that we had back in March, he was a very integral, you know, part, instrumental part in actually helping facilitate, the breakout group for the pro-democratic party bias that happens here at KPFA, and I think he would serve a very valuable member in regards to that, as well as other reasons for him wanting to join the board. But as a worker of both the Green Party and the Post Office, I would like to thank KPFA and specifically Sabrina Jacobs and the Rude Awakening Show for the great coverage, and also the Berkeley, Save the Berkeley Post Office for the event that they had last Friday that involved U.S. Presidential candidate for the Green Party, Jill Stein, and she, because I've been working a little bit on her campaign, she extends her gratitude, both to Sabrina, the station for covering her and third party, for whatever third party coverage that her show and other shows have been doing, and she hopes that in the push, especially with the Bernie bubble, just you know, deflating. What are we going to do with all this energy? And if there's anyone that can take a leap, that would be Jill. So, you know, once again, just wanted to, you know, thank, you know, Sabrina and the Rude Awakening Show for covering, the event that was really well attended, last Friday, the Friday before last at the downtown Berkeley post office. So, thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're very welcome.
That's Sabrina, by the way. That's the voice of Sabrina saying you're welcome.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Thanks. It was a pleasure.
Okay. There are no more people who have signed up for public comment. Is there anybody else? I guess not. Okay. That takes us to the general manager's report. Yes. Here. Okay.
Howdy, folks. It's this is more or less a kind of a state of the state as to where we are. So let's start with a fund drive update. I think the results are very educational for the board members and the KPFA management as well, as it pertains to our constant financial roller coaster ride of ebbs and flows. I believe it's clear that fund drives alone aren't sufficient in providing enough financial stability for KPFA to sustain itself without the aid of outside funding or, more importantly, regular injections of consistent funding from new sources, especially now without the CPB funding, grants, or our regular major donor contributions. Our financial future will still continue to be rocky for a while. The knee-jerk reaction to this is to cut hours, cut staff, cut. I agree that some trimming is necessary along with a few concessions from the union, but cutting content, the marvelous mix of progressive culture, news, arts, and music, the blood of the mission statement, is dangerous territory. We're at a crossroads. If we take the path that other Pacifica stations have traveled, let us use WBAI as an example. They have cut so deeply that they simply don't have a premium product worth listening to anymore. Trust my 30 years of programming knowledge here. Without talented daily programming that listeners can connect to, you lose listeners or donors. Fewer listeners equals longer fund drives that still fall short and continue to burn out what little listenership you have left. KPFA is not there yet, and we need to consider taking the other road. That path has its challenges too. We would have to meet head on with the time-shifting dynamics of the nonprofit world. Folks would have to shed old ideas and embrace new methods of fundraising and evaluate fundraising from different vantage points, opening new ways to connect with donors and each other. Open ourselves to new tools and create innovative strategies so we could thrive in today's changing economic landscape or not. And let me provide just a couple of out-of-the-box examples. One, move the national office inside KPFA and either sell the two adjoining buildings to the highest bidder or tear them down and turn it into a parking lot for regular income. Two, accept underwriting only on the website in our archives and podcast sections. That way sponsors can't influence the content because it's previously broadcast material. The choice ultimately is yours. All I can do is encourage you to continue down the path of change. We must use our energy, our creativity, our entrepreneurialism to innovate new ways of forging KPFA social outcomes into economic currencies for the station's survival. Union negotiations. On the eve of contract negotiations, I have sent the station stewards the required 30-day advance letter indicating that layoffs are imminent and we should begin discussions to find areas where we can cut costs. We feel that we need to cut expenses by $200,000. Those discussions will begin on Tuesday. February fund drive. The goal was $590,000. Before I give you a report on the latest fund drives, I'd like to clear up the urban myth that when fund drives end and we reach our goal on paper, that all that money magically appears in the bank. It's not true. The facts are about 60% upfront in the first month, credit cards and initial billing. The second month return is about 12%. The monthly pledge money trickles in after that. I have a chart here on the report, which I'll hand out. I'm sorry, I forgot to hand it out before, where you, it gives you a pattern, and it follows 6 months of donations. Yeah, you can do that.
Also have Chris's report, the one that he makes.
Yes. It says basically the same thing.
Do you want?
But I think mine is easier to.
That's fine.
It's just a synopsis of his. Okay. So everybody can take a look at that. It's very self-explanatory. So back to the February drive. Our drive focused on Black History Month and the 50th anniversary of the Black Panther Party. It was moderately successful on paper with 632,582 pledged. Unfortunately, only 75% of those pledges have been paid so far, leaving a gap of 158,000. Why? Well, remember, we encourage monthly payments for premiums, so note the pattern that over a year we'll reach the 85% or 86% fulfillment. But during that period, the money will comes in slowly, and in some cases, not at all. But the new donor percentage still remained high at 24%. That's good news for us. April 15th birthday, the one-day drive raised $37,488, but only 50% of that pledge has been materialized. So we've received $19,024, equaling $17,356 shortage. However, of that $35,239, at least $12,000 of it was made with allies, sustaining pledges. These are donors that have committed to ongoing donations every month to KPFA without end. The new donor rate there stayed at around 20%. The May goal, $650,000. On our May drive, 636,421 was pledged to KPFA, 13,579 less than the goal. At this point, the first round of bills have been sent out to donors, and we received 62% of the payments so far, totaling 395,851. So, once again, our new donor percentage stayed around 23%. Our summer fund drive begins on July 27th and ends on Friday, April 5th. August 5th.
That's
WBAI schedule. I'm sorry. Slipped, am I?
You were skipping to the next paragraph.
Yeah, I was. Programming update, April 18th at 11 a.m. The time slot, the 11 a.m. time slot on KPA's grid was changed. On Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, Chris Welch is hosting the talkies. The concept of the new talkies springs from listener feedback for more local politics, culture, and listener participation through call-in segments. It was also a highlight. It also will highlight some of the best of KPFA, bringing in the work of our other programmers, featuring stories about issues in the community, excerpts from KPFA podcasts, and regular live in-studio music performances. The Music of the World slot in the middle of the public affairs programming has consistently shown a huge drop in listeners. The goal of moving the talkies to 11 a.m. is to take that audience that's been gained during the day with fresh local and interactive programming, also hoping to improve our fundraising potential, which happened in the last drive with Chris's talkies revenues improved by 40%. Now, that's a comparison between her and her Saturday show. And the 11A slot increased over 80% in funding, comparing her to the Music of the World slot. Okay. Now, moving Music to the World on Saturdays expands the music back to 2 hours and perfectly places it between our popular gospel and blues shows. We can't thank the longtime programmers of Music of the World enough for the many hours of work and their gracious understanding about this move and making this transition very smooth. Everyone in this group understands that ensuring the station's survival is the priority in this programming move. In addition, KPFA has also begun airing the Ralph Nader Hour at 11, A Rise with Bill Fletcher at 11 on Fridays, and the Collision Sports and Politics Show with Dave Zirin, noon on Fridays. Up front, I'm pleased to report that BET won a prestigious Knight Fellowship at Stanford University for the upcoming academic year, which is a testament to the high quality importance of the work that he and the Upfront crew has been doing. As part of a cohort of 18 journalists from around the world, Brian will be exploring challenges related to local news and podcasting that will strengthen our efforts to expand KPFA's digital footprint when he returns. Brian is an integral part of KPFA's Morning Drive lineup, and basically, he's the foundation to the fund drive over the years. So his leaving will be a challenge to us in that fundraising department. But it will also be an opportunity to bring some fresh voices to the airwaves and grow KPFA's talent pool. We were fortunate that we have already been training two very capable women for the Upfront Friday show who will fill in Brian's absence. He goes in September. September 1st. He'll be gone for 9 months. The whole hog. He gets it all. Cap Brooks is one of the prominent organizers of Black Lives Matter and heads up the East Bay Educational Advocacy Nonprofit. And she's a very talented actress as well. And she'll be one of the substitutes. And Salima Hamirani has been a producer on the show, making contact with the National Radio Project and KPFA's Apex Express. She's also a veteran community organizer who has worked on issues of tenants' rights, environmental, and youth justice. And they're both terrific broadcasters. They've been doing a great job already filling in. Okay, where are we? Election time? Yeah, okay. Nominations for the 2016 Local Station Board have begun and will run through June 30th. We've started running carts announcing the election and nomination period, also posted it on our Facebook page and Twitter account. Our new LES is a guy named Earl Johnson Jr. He set up shop at the station, and he's already got an email and a phone extension at the station if you need to get a hold of him. His phone extension is 605, and I think he just put out sent out an email yesterday, I think, explaining himself and introducing himself. The election calendar is as follows. Candidate nomination period, June 1 through the 30th. Voter date of record, June 30th. Ballots mailed online. Voting begins August 15th. And ballot return deadline online voting ends on September 30th, 2016. National election coverage. The Pacifica Network will be covering the Republican Convention in Cleveland Monday, July 28th through Thursday, the 21st, and the Democratic Convention in Philadelphia Monday, the 25th. Through Thursday, July 28th, Mitch Jesurith will host the coverage from the Republican Convention along with Margaret Prescott of KPFK, who will also host the Democratic Convention coverage. Special national coverage from both conventions will run from 5 to 9 p.m. Pacific time on KPFA. So I'm hoping you guys are going to tell me about this retreat and all the great ideas you came up with to raise money for KPFA.
I don't know if I actually have a question, but I've been anxious to say two things. First of all, I thought the conversation that Davey D had with former Berkeley Mayor Gus Newport about Malcolm X was one of the best things I've heard on radio in ages, and I don't know how we can promote that. Maybe we could even have a public event where they repeat the conversation for people, because we know that the people who come to the speakers events often aren't KPFA members, and I think a broader audience needs to hear that.
Yeah, it got over 1,500 hits on Facebook.
Page. You got anybody who didn't hear it should listen to it while it's still in the archives, because it stopped me dead in my tracks. I couldn't do anything for that period of time. I was supposed to be doing a bunch of things, and I just sat and listened to the radio. And I'm just delighted with the Friday morning lineup. And I have yet to hear Bill Fletcher himself because I was on vacation. And then this week Bill wasn't on the program, but it was also a fascinating discussion about the role of African American women in the election. And I really enjoyed that. And then to have Dave Zirin and Eaton Thomas come on right after that was great. Their music is a little long and a little distracting.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute, is what's going on here? Is somebody going to start talking pretty soon?
Yeah.
But it was a great show, and it was a wonderful conversation.
Yeah, we've been working
about
with
Muhammad
them.
Ali,
the
yeah.
small things like that, or those are the kind of things we've been working with. Those guys. Even Ralph Nader's show. For a long time, we wouldn't take it until they made a bunch of changes, and they have, and it's getting better and better.
Okay.
And we're working with them closely now.
Anyway.
And we had a long talk with Bill yesterday.
Oh, okay, good. Anyway, I just wanted to say those things, and there was something I had a – wait a minute. It was me. Oh, on the unfulfilled stuff from the April 15th drive, I know that in the past we've had volunteers come into the office sometimes and call people, and I want you to know I'm willing to do that, to call people to fulfill their pledges. I think we should. I believe most of those pledges will come through eventually, but we could maybe hurry up the process.
Well, the callback squad, the callback squad, we call it, is alive and well. But I've been trying to task more of the managers to get involved, because recently when we had to raise some money to help us meet our payroll, the relationships that I made by calling some of these donors paid off for us, that we were able to pick the phone up. You know, that's how you make these relationships with the donors. And a couple of them have written me and said, hey, you guys ever need a short-term loan or something, let me know. And so we were able to pick up the phone and call them and say, we need a loan real quick here. So you help us out. We're just about to go on the fund drive. We'll be able to pay you back quickly. That's how we can build a relationship. So to me, I'm trying to push the management, part of the management team, to get on the phone, to call people and to try to make those kind of connections, because it's vital for us right now.
Is there a timekeeper here?
Our times are advisory only.
I'm talking about
time limit.
We're speaking.
Speaking time. Just, I forgot about that. Yes, you'll do time.
No, I wasn't volunteering to do that, but I will.
Yeah, the question.
Three.
Janet. Yeah, hi. Thank you, Quincy. First, I have three questions, but first, the WPFW programming, I also enjoyed, but the station identification was theirs, and it, you know, so maybe...
Yeah, it's those little bugs that we work
right.
on.
Okay.
Yeah.
First, are Kat Brooks and Salima Hamarani, are they paid or unpaid?
Oh, they'll be paid.
Okay. And second, per a post by the IED to the PNB yesterday, Pacifica Radio Archives is in deep trouble, and this is about central services, basically. In that communication, you stated that KPFA doesn't have funds to pay its central services the amount of $16,522 for PRA. You also said, quote, all of Pacifica should realize that KPFA is no longer cash cow.
How are you reading my emails to that email?
This is,
oh, I
yes.
see. I was just wondering.
From where I sit, KPFA isn't even a cow. But
that's right.
In any
We're
case,
not a cash cow
so,
anymore. We're not even a cow. That's can
you,
do it right because it's funny.
Okay. Right. Can you please explain KPFA's financial situation regarding central...
I think I just did a little while
ago. Central services and PRA.
We pay our central services. Mm-hmm. We are behind in paying what we owe PRA. When I was asked to pay the $16,000 last Friday... We were in no financial situation to send them $16,000 without cutting off our own nose. I have employees and people like that come first. If you continue to read that email to everyone, you will see the list of priorities I put before I could get the PRA to pay. So be fair. Read the whole thing if you're going to read it, where I laid all the priorities out about what we have to pay first before we could get around to their $16,000.
Okay, so, and my last question has to do with Feature Story News, which has been on again, off again on KPFA, and there was a time when people were noticing reports from FSN that were not attributed to them. And then.
No, we went through this several meetings ago.
I'm not finished. May
okay,
I?
It's a new question.
May
okay.
I? And apparently FSM was not being used by the news, and then it was being used, and then people were attributed. And so now it seems to be on and off. So I'd like to know, and I had asked whether FSN was being paid, and you Quincy, had said it wasn't. They weren't being paid. So I would like to know what the situation is with using FSN.
I'm not the news director, but I can tell you that we do use them. If they choose to announce who the reporter is, it's totally up to them. And if they don't choose to announce who the reporter is, it's up to them, and we don't pay them.
Right, but this is a corporate media agency,
it is.
FSN. Anyway. I'm done.
I want to announce that Rich Withers is on the line, so he's remotely here. And I have on the stack Bill and Sharon. I didn't know if anybody else. And Frank.
And Jose Luis.
And Jose Luis and Anthony. Anthony and then Jose Luis. Take it back. Thanks. So, Bill.
You got to share this one normally, but
right,
either
here,
one.
You mentioned, Quincy, that you're looking to reduce the cost or expenses by $200,000, and I just wondered if there's something that you've prepared yet, or maybe you haven't, but that we can see at some point that you're...
No, we're working on it now. We're going to sit down Tuesday with the union. $200,000 is a big number, and if we really... if we really went that high, I think we would, you know, kind of devastate the radio station's lineup. I think we'd be in a lot of trouble to cut that deeply. That's like I mentioned in the thing. Like I said, I believe in trimming and see if we can get some concessions from the union. Contract negotiations start with them soon. I don't want to talk about it out loud about a lot of the things that we're going to present to them. But I think if we can get some of those concessions, it would be some of the ways that we could back off. Because the biggest thing for us is the benefits package is very, very expensive. And we could use some concessions on that. But it's also one of the reasons why people stay at KPFA, because we don't pay well. We don't pay a lot of money an hour. We got that. That's the problem. So we've got to try to figure out a way to meet in the middle, hopefully, on some of these things.
So I understand then that when you're talking about this $200,000 number, you're talking about that relative to paid staff.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Sharon. Thank you, Quincy, and I appreciated the report. Hi. And I really appreciate that you are giving the 30-day letter to the unions to discuss the layoffs, because that's like appropriate way to do it. So my question really has to do, and I'm not trying to be very, very specific, but it's just something that's like weighing on me, because I hear that, you know, there's trouble making payroll and trouble, you know, paying central services and things like that. And then I also have heard that two programmers that were sort of hourly, or however you may have called that, were recently made into union positions with benefits recently, like within the last month. And so I just am really wondering why that decision was made with all the financial issues that are happening. And when you just actually specifically said it was the benefits package that is so expensive.
Right. It's the union contract. Those two positions were already being paid.
Right, but they didn't have benefits.
Exactly. They were interim positions. The union contract states you can only keep people in interim positions for 6 months. When Pacifica went into the hiring freeze, I was able to use that, and the union gave me an extension and said you can go another 6 months before this has to happen. So it gave us a little time. But we got to the time, and they came in and said, we really want this to become an open hire. So we had to go into the whole open hire process because it's in the contract. There's no way around it. I talked to the executive director about it, and she said, well, it was in the contract. You have to go forward. And I did. So I let them go ahead, and we did the open hire, and the two people were selected. And they were able to go on the benefits package, which puts more stress on us.
Well, I thank you for that explanation. But my question is, I mean, I really do thank you, because I didn't understand how that worked. But question, and maybe the end. So you can't just hire, like, new people for 6 months at a time?
Mm-mm.
Once that position is being paid, you must then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Frank.
I guess one would be, if the craft fair is free this year to get in, how does our new arrangement work, and what is our like expected income if it's reflected in the budget? It kind of is my question.
Well, you know that I should tell you right off. You know, Jan does this independent. She's not an employee with us anymore. It's an independent deal that we have as a contractor. Our deal is ideally we get the door like we get in the winter fair. This time with the summer fair, which is an experiment still, this is the second time we're doing it, we made a deal up in front because she, you know, all the pressure is on her to raise money and pay everybody. It's everything is on her. All we do is promote it, and we get a check for $10,000 this time. Last time it was $15,000. She was having trouble getting artists to come in the summer. There's so much competition for fairs everywhere, so people don't want to travel. They can do it in their own neighborhoods. So to entice them, she needed to have the door open. We sat down, we talked about it. I took the 10 grand, and we're good to go. So now she's going to have a packed crowd. So hopefully this will keep the artists still coming. We can go back to the regular arrangement. Now, if not, if we don't think it's going to work, and then we'll just cancel the summer fair and just stick with the winter fair.
Yeah, so I was just curious to later see it in the budget that way. All right, and then I was wondering if you had thought yet. I know a while back that one of the fund drives was the Ally thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we discussed a couple times ago about it's like a $25 gift to attract like the new listeners. Has that happened yet?
Well, that was part of it. I used your $25 thing. We made that the membership thing to become an ally. And that's where most of the people signed up in the $25 rate, and we got $12,000.
But my question is, they get a gift?
Oh, no, they didn't get. Oh, they got a bumper sticker.
A bumper sticker, all right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm still just searching for maybe a
$25. I'm really surprised that a lot of you people don't have them on your car. You got one?
I just got a new one. All right, and then I guess my last thing would be I don't know if we just could wait till the till the discussion about the retreat, whatever. But one thing that did come up there was alternative sources, you know, of income, and I was hoping that maybe you gave some consideration to like the pay-per-view option of one of KPFA speaking events. I want you to consider. I'm gonna try to get John to write up another thing that he has in the past, but about the pay-per-view option, which would not only open up to people that just couldn't make it, it could expand events beyond the seat capacity, and also could include people from around the world that just like would like to check it out but like live in another country or another, you know, wherever part of the planet.
We'd have to put up a paywall for that, which is
So I think when we do our little thing that I want to submit to you, we'll have that in there.
Okay.
But I think Ustream, which we're not on the silver membership right now, we're on the free membership, which includes ads, they have like an automatic pay-per-view thing where they take care of all that. So I think that's it. I got 30 seconds.
Go ahead. I like to see it on paper, though.
So, yeah, we'll work on that. So I want to consider that. And then I think my last thing was a $25 gift, which I already talked about.
Okay. Okay.
Thanks, guys.
So did I understand correctly a moment ago that the talks on a new union contract haven't begun yet?
They start Tuesday.
Okay. But the previous contract's already expired, right?
Right, they extended it because they weren't ready yet. They had an election, and they have new people coming in.
I see. As to the craft fair, where is the $10,000 coming from? Who's giving that?
Yeah, Jan gave us a check for $10,000 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
It's from the booth fees.
I see.
That's how she gets the money. Yeah, he can answer it. He knows.
Most of the money that comes in from the craft fair comes from the booth fees that the artists pay. The door is a small portion. In the winter, like the door is basically to keep the space from getting past capacity. So for Jan this year, opening the door to entice people in so the artists would keep coming back and keep paying booth fees was a higher priority mm-hmm. than collecting that $10 ahead. So she's paying KPFA money out of what she's collecting on the booth fees.
What is KPFA paying her as a contractor?
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
She's an independent contractor.
So this $10,000 that's nothing to deduct from that. That's all clear to KPFA.
It's already in the bank.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Okay, Jose Luis.
Okay, so can you hear me?
Yeah.
I want to follow up on Sharon's question, Quincy.
Okay.
And I want to try to understand some of the thinking that's going on with our financial situation with these folks that were put on staff and union contracts because 6 months had come up. Why wouldn't we just close those positions instead of doing open hires? Just shut them down so we can save money.
We can't.
Let me finish. That's one. And then I'm looking at this next situation, which is Brian leaving for 9 months, and we're going to put in two people in those positions, and 6 months will come up, and we'll have to put them on the payroll as well, perhaps.
No, we won't. It's a different position.
It's a package. It'll be easier. And then the third one is if these people that will be taking over Brian's positions, I never heard them on the radio. Maybe I just don't listen enough. But why wouldn't we put some of our unpaid staff who have been working for us for years with no pay in these positions to do that radio slot?
So what was the first question?
First question is, why wouldn't we just eliminate the position so we didn't have to do open hires for them? And that would save us two positions, and it would save us from getting into new union relationships with people.
Those two positions are producer positions for the Upfront show. The Upfront show is our highest, it raises the most money for us during fund drives. It's the station, just in this last drive alone, I've already peaked, and Brian's brought in around $246,000. Those people are essential to keeping Upfront the kind of show that it is.
And letters.
Our two most important shows that both bring in a lot of money. If we were to eliminate those producer positions, that show would fall in quality, and we would be in trouble. I think it's a very smart move by management and programming to keep those two positions filled with the two most qualified people that we can possibly find at that low rate of pay. It's almost worth it to us to have that, to spend that kind of money for those positions. I wouldn't eliminate those positions. I think that would be a terrible move. And you can take it from my 30 years of radio programming, I'm telling you, that would not be good. And especially now with Brian leaving. Now, let's get back to the substitutes. These two women, maybe you don't listen on Fridays, but these two women have been substituting for a while on Fridays on the air. They've also done very well in the last pledge drive because they've been trained by Brian. So I think that they're going to do excellent work on a part-time level for us as they come in. Their jobs do not switch over like the other. These are not interim positions. These are fill-in positions, so we do not have to hire them. They do not go into the union, can't get their hands on them and force me into making them go into the benefits package, so forth and so on.
Hold on. The last one was, Quincy, why wouldn't you just put unpaid staff in there?
Because I need really trained people to do that thing. The people that applied for it, many, many people did. We went through an entire interview series, and I think we found the two best producers for the job. The thing about it is it's a very talented situation. Not only do you have to produce, but you also have to be able to go on the air and perform. So we went through a list of, I don't know, they had a lot of people there. We cut it down to about 10. Then we went through those 10, and I think we ended up with the best two.
Well, I just want to clarify, because we're talking about, I think, two different things, the producer positions and the fill-in hosts.
So on
the fill-in hosts, we also did an internal posting, an open hire process. One of the two people who's filling in has been unpaid staff with KPFA for years. Salima Hamarani has been working on Apex Express. I don't know why we would limit ourselves to just unpaid staff, but it's certainly something we gave unpaid staff at the station every opportunity to apply for and go for.
Sasha.
Hi. So I'm trying to get a handle on, so we're basically short $200,000 a year.
Yeah, that money is the that's the legacy thing that is put into the budget every year. I mean, somebody has to die and leave us $200,000 to be on budget.
Ah, okay.
So if you have anybody that you can poison, trip down the stairs.
Can anybody convince Donald Trump to leave money to KPFA and we take up a fund drive for something else and get rid of him? Anyway, I see. So, what I'm driving at, I guess, with that question is how soon is that money needed? In other words, you know, Frank just, I mean, I thought that was an interesting idea, this pay-per-view. It might have some technical questions. You know, I'm not questioning what your response was. But there might be a number of ideas to start filling in some of that money. I mean, if we need $75,000 in 6 weeks, then clearly that's not going to happen. But
it could happen.
To have a fundraising drive and new funding idea in place that raises the 75.
You know, I mean, it could come from some people in this room. I mean, you know, people could get together and put a committee together, and we could come up with some things to do.
To raise some money. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was sort of suggesting.
Fund drives are just not going to handle.
No,
we
not
don't
a
have
fund.
CPB money. I mean, so we're in a hole.
No, new and different things that we haven't relied on, or we have relied on a little bit, but we haven't really gone out and solicited people to put us in their wills lately, let's say. And so that could be done. You know, it's not going to bring in money tomorrow, probably, but planning for the future.
I wish I could have been here when fund drives are raising like $1 million a drive with stuff.
Right.
I think I could have helped put things in the right place so we wouldn't be in this situation today. It'd be great to have a reserve or something, but currently we don't. We're in trouble, and we're pinching pennies already.
Right.
We're so understaffed. Everybody just thinks we're overstaffed. When you know, I could use a lot of help. The program director could use an assistant. We all could use help. So we're all doing two or three different things, and it always amazes me that. You know, everybody's always talking about, you know, cut, and there's your answer, or...
No, I'm talking about what can the board do to help so that, to ease this problem going into the future? And, you know, perhaps some of us need to sit down with you and...
Yeah.
See what you can put us to work doing.
I could put you to work doing lots of stuff.
Okay.
I mean, I had the same situation when I was running MOCA. I mean, I came in, the board was a board that had not really, wasn't used to fundraising, didn't know how to go about it. A lot of people are always afraid to ask people for money. I am not one of those. I will ask anybody you can put in front of me for some money for the radio station. I know how to do that. I'm not afraid to do that. But I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking people to just give me some sweat equity and work with me on a few ideas that we can sit down and come up with. I mean, it's not really hard to do a gala dinner. We've got so many allies. I mean, we got so many friends through the radio station that would love that we could give awards to, that people would come to see Alice Walker or Danny Glover or Chris Hedges. We could do these kind of things. We have the people to work with. That will help us. They want to help us.
So let's do it.
But we just need to put it together.
Let's do it.
That's all I'm looking for.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody I can work with and let's come up with some things to do.
The other thing, a couple of things. So can we get Bet here, BET, to come do fund drives
already,
at least?
Already taken care of.
Are you taking that?
So his voice will be around.
His voice will be around during the drives.
Yes,
okay.
You better
believe. And the other thing is, what kind of quick sense can you give us of the rest of the network? Because they used to turn to us and take our money to buy a transistor to do this, to that.
I'm not going there.
You're not going to touch that one in terms of the rest of the network?
I am in enough trouble.
Okay.
Right, Janet?
Okay, so next on our agenda is the CAB report. Carol?
Thank you. For the CAB, I haven't
membership update. Judith Gibbs, Ramon Jamal, Steve Martino, and Mary Prophet will be completing 6 years of cab service and will be termed out at the end of June. Myself, Robin Collin, will be completing 3 years in June of 2016 and request to be reconfirmed for a second term of 3 years. Richard Stone is over there, and Karen Nyhus are completing 1 year soon and have 2 more years of their terms. Jennifer Fazio is completing a 3-year term and taking a medical leave. Thus, if no action is taken, the CAB will have 2 members as of June 30th, and the Pacifica bylaws require 4 to 24 members. We request that you make a motion to confirm. This is your chance now, Brian. Michael Sukoff, and recommend and to be appointed to the CAB and reconfirm Robin House Collins and myself, Carol Wolfley, this Saturday, June 11th. And we have made nomination requests in carts on the KPFA website and at KPFA speaker events and CAB meetings. We are committed to racial, cultural, and geographic diversity and welcome additional nominations to expand our connections with the community. There will be a CAB meeting about Pacifica. The KPFA Community Advisory Board is holding a meeting about Pacifica on Saturday, July 16th, 2016, from 2 to 4 at the Sports Basement, which is an accessible building, the old ice rink, community room at 2727 Melvia Street in Berkeley. I'll pass out flyers. And there will be presentations on finances and Pacifica stations, programming, governance, and legal issues, and the KPFA election as a community advisory board. We have often received questions and concerns from the community about Pacifica and how it impacts programming policies and community services at KPFA. We are in the process of arranging for speakers and facilitation breakout groups on identified topics and report backs and solicitation of written input from participants. Naturally, as there are issues which may involve conflict, we plan to have careful facilitation, group agreements about participation and time sharing, and we plan to have representation from a variety of perspectives so that and have it be factually based so that we can really understand what are the facts. People have many, many questions. Okay, if you have information, resources, or questions, that please contact us about this upcoming event. 2 to 4, July 16th. No, it's a Saturday. Of July. Yeah, we wanted to plan ahead.
I just want to, as the chair of the LSB, say that I think that it's likely we'll want to, it's at least possible that we'll like to have some space on your agenda and that we'll come up with, we may come up with it. I may be wrong, but I'm telling you now to please include some space for us, and we'll get back to you to see. Yes, I know. We meet on the 9th, and you know, but I think that we are going to come up with something for the CAB as a board. I hope so.
Thank you. I mean, I know that there was some interest in the fact that the LSB did have a retreat, and based on that, there may be report backs or information that could be relevant for us. And our meeting, our planning meeting, is next Sunday. The CAB is having a meeting, so if anybody wants to contact me.
I just did. I just contacted you. So put some space for us there. That's all I'm suggesting in terms of
as an LSB.
As an LSB, yeah.
Okay.
Brian, you had your hand up.
Question before I get to the motion. You made reference to a 6-year limit on service. What does that derive from? Why are people terming out in the CAB?
Pacifica bylaws state that terms are for 3 years, and that there are no more, you cannot have more than 6 consecutive years to be on the cab.
No, they only apply that to local station boards. They don't require, they don't issue any guidance regarding terms for community advisory boards.
I'd like to defer to Janet Coburn, because I know she's worked on this.
Yeah, I believe the requirements are in the CPB.
I don't want to bog us down.
Right. Anyway, so those limits are in the CPB Community Advisory Board requirements. So you can look it up. I have a link.
Okay. It sounded to me curiously similar to the term limits imposed on local station board members. So I just wanted to make sure. No, I understand that. I just wanted to make sure there was a basis for it, because in my opinion, and people may not agree with me, if you have someone good and they're doing a good job, they shouldn't be arbitrarily forced out by a term limit. I don't like them in the state legislature. I don't know why we had them on our boards, and we shouldn't create them on our cab if we don't need them, particularly if you're working well as a group. But I don't want to open it up for debate now. Just make sure... you don't think it comes from our bylaws. If it comes from somewhere else, great.
I believe it's the 2010 Pacifica bylaws. I believe you could access it on the website. There was a meeting, I believe, in July of 2010 when those bylaws were specifically created. Because when we looked, people thought it was 2 years and then it was 3 years. So there, I believe if you look...
Well, why don't we? We understand that it's something to be looked into.
Yeah, it's not the bylaws.
Did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Well, I'll make a motion to appoint Robin House Collins, Carol Wolfley, and Michael Sukoff to the Community Advisory Board.
Okay, is there a second? Is there a discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's the group that Carol had raised in the opposed, abstentions. Okay, so moved. Janet.
Yes. So
Carol, Janet is speaking to you.
Right. So again, according to the CPB, it lists the cab responsibilities and it limits it to the station. So I'm wondering, you're saying there's going to be something about Pacifica, the network, not the station. And anyway, I'd recommend that you look at the CPB requirements for cabs and the limitations.
Tim.
Just want to read into the record, thanks for the termed out people on this, on the cab, and welcome to the new members.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Okay. And in response to Janet's remark, since we are part of Pacifica, I don't think I have as narrow a notion as Janet apparently does. Abusing the position of the chair. Okay. Report on the retreat. Who is doing that?
Sabrina.
Are you prepared to do that?
Yes.
Great. Go for it.
Sorry. All right, I'm just going to start with an introduction here of what we want to present. And then Sharon's going to follow with questions that we're going to be presenting to the LSB. Can you guys hear me good? Okay, great. Hold on a second here. All right, so first and foremost, I want to thank everybody who was able to make it to the retreat. And we were able to cover a lot of ground in the way of furthering everyone's understanding of our financial situation at KPFA and network-wide. as well as our legal situation with the California Attorney General, investigation. We need to further the discussion that began at the retreat about our options as a station, as a part of the Pacifica network. And it is necessary to stay on track and not get bogged down with extraneous details. And you all should have received the information packets. If you have not received those information packets that were handed out at the retreat, we can send them to you. And again, please, we need to stay on track with the comments, suggestions, and any questions that you may have. And I'm going to start with questions to promote some type of focus on the issues at hand, which consist of, again, finances and the Attorney General's investigation. Sharon will be presenting the questions. Want to go ahead and do that, Sharon?
Oh, thank you, Sabrina. Yeah, I just want to echo what Sabrina was saying and say I think the retreat was very informative, and I really appreciated the information that Sam provided and everybody provided. So just these are questions that I just came up with to sort of focus the discussion, as Sabrina said, but we can talk about anything that we want. I just to try to stay on track with what's best for Pacifica. So these are just general questions that I came up with in discussions with some people. Let's see. If a question was raised at the retreat about the LSB potentially directing the PNB to direct general managers to do what actually Quincy is doing, which is begin discussions with unions, begin negotiation with unions about cutting costs because of the extreme financial crisis that Pacifica is facing. So whether this LSB would like to take some sort of step like that, because we're kind of talking about what this body, the LSB, can do. Bill Campisi has suggested going to the membership, and I actually think this CAB meeting that's being planned for July is a great opportunity to perhaps do that. Also, what has been mentioned is that the LSB used to have a show, and perhaps that's a way to reach out to the community. Questions were raised about changing the governance structure, how that would happen and what that would mean. Questions were raised about possibly about the whole AG investigation and what the LSB wants to do about that issue, which is something that now we can discuss because we are in open session. And just generally, what does the LSB want to focus on? So if I didn't raise a question you want to focus on, what does this body want to focus on? So with those questions in mind, I open this up for deliberations.
Please leave it on. Well, I don't care. I want it on. Janet.
No.
Oh, Margie. Okay.
But my mic is, I pushed the button on and nothing's happening here. He has to do something, too. I know. Okay. I just mean, it's like, I thought it was in my hands and it turned out it wasn't. Okay, so I was the third member of the retreat planning committee, and I want to say that Sharon and Sabrina and I worked together very well. We at the end of every meeting, we all said, "Oh my God, what a great meeting this was!" You know, we were very happy, and we were very happy with the retreat, with the logistics, and with the way things turned out. And for myself, I want to say that I think that the whole question of the governance structure is terribly important. I think that that the governance structure plays a role in Pacifica's inability to deal with the crisis that it's facing at this point, and that I hope we spend some time talking about that. That's all I want to say right now. I'll have other things to say, I'm sure.
Janet.
Yeah, hi. I have two questions, and then I wanted to can I get the answers, and then I have something else to say. So one of them has to, is that Carol?
Yeah. It depends how much time it takes. Go ahead.
Well, these are points of information, so
okay,
that's right. Two points of information. Okay, I had asked the LSB via email regarding deliberations versus deliberative dialogue. or how deliberative dialogue and discussion were to be distinguished at the retreat, and I didn't get an answer. My question is, were any notes taken or anything compiled for the group at the retreat? And if so, what was done with them? So that's one question. Is there?
Not that I know of.
No notes were taken, no.
And then since the May 22nd retreat was the crisis group's idea, was what happened at the retreat reported back to the crisis group?
Irrelevant.
The crisis group is a coalition of both factions that exist in, has historically or recently existed in the board, and I think probably everybody reported everywhere to their various groups, including the crisis group.
So,
but it was just what you heard here, that that was a great meeting. There was no deliberations at the retreat. There was factual information shared and clarifying questions. There were no decisions or proposals for decisions.
So Margie wanted to answer. Is that you're responding or to my question? Okay. So all right. So now I wanted to say something. Those were two points of information. So it's on the stack to say.
Well,
something.
Are you going to say the other things?
Yeah.
Or you wait? Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So.
But this is still part. Okay. Go ahead. Now you're not in point. Go ahead.
When the May 22nd retreat was being discussed on April 9th, Brian said, quote, there's a cross-factional dialogue group here that has been trying to talk big picture challenges facing Pacifica structurally, and we thought we were getting along well enough that we could propose a retreat for the local station board and kind of widen the circle of conversation. By approving this group's retreat idea, it appears that the KPFA LSB took its direction from a non-governance, self-appointed outside entity, the crisis group, which, by the way, is a project that is only about Pacifica, not KPFA. As I've said before, the KPFA LSB is not an autonomous body. It is an advisory standing committee of the PNB, and under its direction and supervision. Its specific powers and duties are spelled out in the bylaws, see Article 7, Section 3. Also, per the bylaws, an LSB cannot exercise additional powers unless such power is delegated to it by the PNB by resolution, see Article 7, Section 4. The KPFA LSB cannot take certain actions in the name of the KPFA LSB, like gather and provide information and data to an outside entity for the entity to use at the entity's discretion. Please provide a citation from the bylaws or point to a PNB resolution which gives the KPFA LSB the power and authority to take any action on behalf of the foundation or associate itself with an outside entity as I described.
I just want to say that it was my idea to have a retreat.
I think she reached finish. No.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
No. So I have 3 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So the PNB is the governing body and the only governing body and fiduciary of the Pacifica Foundation. The governing body is made up of the directors, the PNB. Thus, its combined directors is also the foundation's ultimate employer, charged with paying its employees, including the CFO and the GMs, and holding them accountable. It also pays its legal counsel and HR counsel, who, along with its employees, provide it with facts. The PNB then makes its decisions based on the facts at hand. The PNB listens to and reads the opinions of the employees, their interpretations of and claims about the information. It gets legal and HR input and the recommendations of the auditors, but in the end, it is the PNB that is the ultimate decision maker of the foundation. I'm sorry, my time is not up.
30 seconds. 30 seconds. Sorry.
This is part of the structure of Pacifica. And as long as any of you serve on this LSB or the PNB, having been elected, if you want to change the structure, you have to go through the structure, the existing channels and processes laid out in the bylaws and the PNB resolutions. Any of you who want to change Pacifica outside of its present structure, like through the courts, you must do so as individuals and not in the name of any of Pacifica's governing bodies, like
time.
The KPFA LSB.
Time. Okay, Tim is next.
No.
Okay.
What? You recognized me.
I know, but he was ahead of you. Oh, okay. Go ahead. Okay. I have
Thank
it
you,
written
Tim.
Down.
Okay. First of all, I don't know what world you live in, Janet. We are in a total falling down crisis in this organization. And this, you know, nitpicking and, you know, referring to... Anyway, I just, it's like bizarre to me. But as the person who did all of the things I'm about to describe, I feel I have a responsibility to respond. When we made the decision, this body voted on the decision to have the retreat. It doesn't matter where the idea came from. The body deliberated about it and voted on it. And there was, I think, almost no disagreement. I wasn't at that meeting, but I heard about it. Okay. Oh, fine. Okay. Then I reported to the PMB. I sent to the full PMB the fact that we were having this retreat. I included the text of the motion that was passed. I described what the meeting would involve. I indicated that we might invite the CFO to attend our meeting. And I sent it to the entire PMB. Nobody complained. Nobody said. In fact, I got two personal messages from PMB members who said, that's a great idea. Maybe we'll try it at our station. Then I wrote to the general managers and the LSB chairs at every station, again, describing the retreat, saying what we were planning to do, and asking them for information, which I then sent out to this body. You know, it's like, please, why are you wasting our time with these concerns? I want us to talk about the issues. Like I said before, I want us to talk about the governance structure because I think the governance structure is a huge problem. I think the LSBs and the PMB are too large. Everything I've read about, you know, sort of appropriate size for governing boards in nonprofits indicates that they should be much smaller, that what happens in our boards is exactly predicted and experienced elsewhere. When you have a board that's too large, you end up with factions, and work becomes paralyzed. And in addition to that, I think that we need to think about having a board that includes people who are experts in their fields and not just simply people who... have time on their hands and are, you know, willing to spend it doing this stuff. So I'm very interested in that, and I hope that one of the things maybe that can come out of today's meeting would be a committee, maybe a group of volunteers who would work on the idea of proposals for bylaws changes or maybe replacing the bylaws in their entirety, which would involve a membership vote, I know. But so those are my thoughts on this question.
Let me read the list as I have it. I actually have Tim next, although I tend to want to put Sharon in since she's somebody who was part of the planning. But do you want to be?
No.
No, don't. Okay, so Tim, Bill, Sharon, Brian is the list I have. Has I missed anyone? And Sasha. And anybody? Oh, and Sabrina. Oh, so I'm going to put Sabrina just after... I don't know. So Tim, Bill, Sharon, Sabrina, Brian, Sasha. Ramses.
Point of information.
Oh, point of information.
Are the next speakers going to be addressing the issues, I hope, rather than arguing with Janet? Thank you.
Jim, it'll probably be a mix.
It'll be a mix for me. Just I'll try and be brief as possible. First of all, given how my, you know, I don't have full understanding of the situation, but my limited understanding of the situation with Pacifica is that we are close enough to folding that I am shocked and dismayed that anyone would want Pacifica members not to be discussing the future of this organization. The future of this organization is in great peril. And I'm stunned that somebody would try and limit that discussion of our situation at this perilous time. I've heard people address bylaws changes. I've heard people address the Attorney General. I just wondered if, and I'm not sure if this is appropriate for this body or not, just say no if it's not, but is Chapter 11 voluntary bankruptcy also been discussed as an option? For reorganization?
Not yet. Okay. Bill.
Yeah.
And you need a microphone.
Oh.
No, here.
Either one.
So, it's what's the reason for the downward trajectory of Pacifica? And if part of it is governance changes or structural reform, the question that's arisen is how do we get there? Some people think that maybe what has to happen is that a court or the Attorney General has to oversee structural reform. And there's a belief that somehow we could get the Attorney General to do that. And essentially bypass the organization and the structure of the organization. I'm coming to the idea that we should do something exactly the opposite of that, that we should have another retreat, a national retreat, that is accompanied with a lot of spade work before, meaning all the boards are invited to participate before in a learning process as to what we'd be trying to do at a national retreat, why we didn't have one. And that is fundamentally it's Pacifica and its members that have to solve the problem. My own experience as a lawyer is if we went to a judge or the AG, they would say, well, have you tried to solve your own problems? Why are you coming to us? You know, you need to solve your own problems. If you can't, then we'll talk. But you have a mechanism to solve your own problems. You should use it. And the mechanism is, and I was talking to Brian earlier, I didn't understand that. Some structural changes don't require the membership to vote. Others do. But first of all, before the members would know what to do, their leadership, their elected officials, their elected representatives would have to know what to do or at least make some proposals. For example, someone could say, I think we need to have a very strong CEO structure. Other people might say, well, no, we don't. Well, if we have a person who's studied organizational structures, who's studied boards, educate us, educate other part of the LSBs, then we might learn, we could at least come up with a couple of proposals to present to the membership if we could all get agreement. So the idea I thought was, or what we might consider or form a
30 seconds.
What we might do is form a committee of this board to investigate the idea of a national retreat of all the boards.
Group of volunteers.
Not a committee.
Oh, yeah, a group of volunteers, sorry. Okay. So, and I think we should drop the AG idea except maybe for educational purposes, going and finding out what the AG is doing and maybe educating it.
Sharon.
I just want to sort of recall when we came here in January. Okay, I came here in January and was the first board, and we went around the room and said what we thought about Pacifica and why we were here, and there was, like, remarkable unity. And that's what always strikes me, is there's this unity and sort of love for Pacifica and for KPFA, and then we devolve, and it's not just here, devolve into these factional fights. And sometimes, you know, I've come to understand that, like, anyway, the alliances aren't even as clear as everybody thinks they are. It's just that there's all this fighting going on. So I just want us to try to recall that again, and that's why we're here. Just, Tim, to answer your question about voluntary bankruptcy, I could be wrong on this, but my understanding is that it's not – yeah, exactly. It's not really possible. I mean, it would be something that would not be – it's just not like – you can't really be driven into bankruptcy as a nonprofit. I don't understand all the legal details. Regarding the national retreat, you know, I think people were somewhat maybe not sure how our retreat would go, and I think pretty much – people came out of it feeling like it was extremely helpful. And what was so helpful, I mean, there was many things, but hearing Sam really lay it out and lay out the financial situation was great. And I really came to respect him and to respect what he's doing. And one of the key things he was saying was the lack of accountability, the lack of structure, the governance problems where, okay, you know, maybe he even has an idea of how to solve some financial issues, but there's no way for him to implement or enforce these ideas. There's no way for him to get accurate, you know, reports back from the other stations. I mean, and I really came to feel for him when he was explaining how he was being placed between, and not just him, but probably all the general managers, having the choice of writing a bad check, which is illegal, or not meeting payroll, which is also illegal. And it's really unfair for us as the governing bodies, or as just a committee of the governing body, to put people that we have hired into that position. And I think it would be a great loss for Pacifica as a whole if we lost Sam. And that kind of like dilemma that you force somebody into is the kind of thing that makes people think about leaving their jobs. I'm just saying that. And that would be a huge loss. So I really think we would be great if we could take what we have done, take it to the national level, take it further. Because I'm kind of with Bill. I don't trust going to the AG. I just, who knows what they would think is best for Pacifica, and if we can't agree among ourselves, we absolutely have no idea what they would think is best. So I really hope that we can move forward with what we've been doing, with maybe governance changes, I do believe that's the way, and more accountability, smaller boards.
As I have the list now, it is Sabrina, Brian, Sasha, Ramses, me, Craig, Barbara. Sabrina, you're on. Oh, sorry. Okay. Sabrina?
Hello?
Hello. We're waiting on you, dear.
Okay. I tried to chat you that I'm going to pass on my turn, and I'll get back on the stack later.
Oh, pass on your turn. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to pass.
We heard that you were ass on your turn.
Okay, you guys are you guys are having
which might jealous. Which might describe how you're feeling. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, I'll put you on the stack going down. Okay. Brian.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, dear.
Well, you know, first of all, I want to second everything Sharon said, and really thank her and the other people who worked on planning the retreat for what I know is a lot of work and what I think resulted in a resounding success. I came in to governance, and we're talking like 12 years ago, as I think a lot of us did, thinking that the main problem was the other side, whoever the other side happens to be. And the lesson I have drawn from many years is that there's a more profound structural problem, which is that it's very clear when you look at the financial history charts like Sam presented us, that as an organization, we're on a slow but steady downward trajectory. And we don't have a capacity at our highest decision-making level, which is the national board, to make strategic decisions or hard choices or take new initiatives. Because I think in a factionalized environment where everybody is looking over their shoulder, it pays to be timid, it pays to be critical of other people's ideas, but not advance any of your own. And to me, I felt like the most valuable thing that happened in this retreat was that we all had the room to talk about ourselves, our personal histories, how we came to the station, why we cared about it, our bigger vision overall for Pacifica, free of any up or down voting or Robert's rules, and I think build a lot of trust across the factions in the room that even if we don't agree on everything, everybody there is operating in good faith, right? There's no sinister intent. And I think that's what the network as a whole needs. And I don't know exactly how we get there. National convention sounds like a ton of work. But I guess what I would encourage between now and our next meeting is those people who have some ideas about what we should actually be deliberating on, grab one or more from each faction and try to put a proposal together for the board that we can discuss at our next meeting. I don't know why that dialogue and trust building feels threatening, and I'm sorry it does, because I think we made real efforts to include you. People pled with you to stay in the room when you walked out. I don't know why, as an organization that was founded with a commitment to free speech, we would ever tell people they shouldn't talk to each other. And I hope you would reconsider your posture towards it, because I think if we are going to if we are going to save Pacifica, then we need to have those channels of dialogue open, and we need to have that basic level of trust in each other.
Sasha?
May I? So my concern, my main concern with the retreat had to do with whether it was a meeting or a retreat, and with CPB open meeting requirements, and I was not satisfied, and I was there curious, and then things happened, and I didn't feel comfortable staying.
Sasha.
Well, I, for one, am sorry that you didn't feel comfortable staying, and wish you had. Although at the same time, I have to find you're constantly going to bylaws and laws and corporate and blah, blah, blah to really be something that it's fine to keep us legal. That's great. But when it starts to interfere with our being able to solve our very serious problems, because that's all we do is just discuss laws, I find that really problematic, because we are, you know, the station is not in the great shape, as we're learning, as we felt we were a year ago. We've known that Pacifica is in trouble, but how deep that trouble is, I think we're coming to learn more and more, and we don't want to lose it. And so I think we really have to stop conspiracy theories and technicality games and so forth, and reciting of law and written speeches planned ahead of time, as yours was, because I really think we have to talk, that our fighting with one another means that time is taken up and we can't solve the problems, and we really, really have to solve the problems because we can't lose it all. So having said that, I want to say, as somebody who came back on the board this January, to Sharon, if I may get Sharon's attention for a moment, who said she came in on January and felt that this was kind of a feuding atmosphere. When I came in on January, I thought it was much improved over my prior 6 years. No, but you sort of indicated that it was like factional. And my take, that was your take coming in, and you were probably absolutely right. I'm just saying that six, 9 years before, it was so much worse. So I'm saying, to me, it was very peaceful, you know, as somebody who had experienced it in a much harsher state. And I just want to say that I thought the retreat was really wonderful for us, that I feel that there's less of this factional breakdown and conspiracies and worries, and that I think we're all, I think, more comfortable trusting and talking to one another. Is somebody cackling in response to my remarks?
a frog
okay.
Sound.
And somehow or other, we have to lead the way because we have to understand how we got here so that we can help the other stations and Pacifica get to that point as well in terms of having a discussion. And I guess I'm pretty much out of time, but thank you.
Ramses.
Personal privilege.
Okay, then I want to take a point of personal privilege.
The subject is a broader subject. I can put you on the list.
No, I'm sorry. Point of personal
okay,
privilege.
Okay, go ahead.
The LSB member direct.
Go ahead.
Spoke to me directly.
Okay.
And
okay.
So. So I am a director of the on the PNB, and I have a fiduciary duty. And duties and a responsibility to the foundation to follow the bylaws and the law and all that. And I'm sorry that some people think that the laws and the rule of law or whatever should just be discarded just to have a discussion. I have to, it's my duty to raise these issues. And I don't argue about them, I raise them. I would like to have discussions about Pacifica, but this is not the appropriate, I'm sorry. So this entity, this LSB, is not the proper place for that.
Okay, Sharon?
Yes, I just want to say, since my name was specifically mentioned, I don't actually agree with the characterization, but that's not what I'm going to say. I'm going to ask people to not name other people's names so that we can actually have a discussion about the issue at hand.
Okay.
Just no names. Stick to the topic.
You know who. Okay. Ramses. Okay.
All right. So I was not able to make this retreat, although I really, really wanted to make it. I was gone to my union's international convention in Detroit with 2,000-3,000 members from all over the country. It was a really huge event. First time I ever been to one of those. It just had me thinking, about some of the themes here in this discussion, the governing boards, and processes and so on, right? I think that I appreciate comments made earlier about discussing about the roles of the boards and the size, and what effect that has on trying to run the organization and the involvement of people who are on the board and so on. People have commented to me, over time, that some of what we have now has to do with what happened 20 years ago when there was a huge battle inside of Pacifica and KPFA. And I get that, I don't know if anybody mentioned this yet, but, we may be due for a bylaws revision at some point, right? I know we're struggling just to get the elections going, just to keep the organization going. But it's been, 15 to 20 years since the last bylaws, right? So that's something to start looking at. Maybe a national convention starts to look at how to frame that, right? And I would strongly suggest have a very democratic input process for coming up with a bylaws revision. Because ultimately, I take it that has to go to the listenership for ratification, right, and some sort of election or such, the membership, right? And, but one thing that I wanted to ask, right, that I brought up here before and that, in my few years I've been on this board is, and that I found alarming many times is, and it's not limited to KPFA, but the whole organization is very weak boundaries, right, between different elements in the organization, from the staff to unpaid staff to management to the board. I mean, it's just rampant, people crossing things, right? Sometimes I'm here saying, that's just so unprofessional, and I'm just that's a culture I think that as we start to come together a little bit more here on this level on the board, I feel like we have to also see practices and how we run and the culture running both KPFA, the station that we represent, and the larger organization, right? And I'm coming from both large experience coming from unions and also 30 seconds, by the way, and also working in a nonprofit, mostly social services and housing nonprofit world, right? That can be like a few hundred employees at a time, right? And where in those settings, I know that the boundaries are hugely rigid, right? In terms of like your day-to-day work, your involvement with the organization, management, the board, and so on. Right, and I feel like that needs to be looked into too, because I found a lot of places where we have weaknesses.
I'm next, so you're chairing. Could you call on me, please?
And next up is Carol.
Okay, thank you.
3 minutes.
I really appreciated the work that was done on the retreat also, and thought it was great, and see a couple of things coming out of it. I agree with Brian. I have, it's interesting to me that how every once in a while somebody expresses to me that they don't trust me or they don't trust us or, you know, I have never felt that there's anybody I don't trust. There are people I don't agree with. Maybe there's one exception on the trust issue, but beyond that, really, I think that pretty much I trust almost everybody, and think that even the people I don't trust, the person I don't trust, I don't really doubt that there's a commitment to the station and Pacifica. And I see Pacifica really entwined with the station, and that... you know, because our license is held by Pacifica. Pacifica's executive director does not have the authority to order anything from any station. It can't order them to give a clear, on-time report, or else they can't order. There's no managing capacity of Pacifica. Either the executive director or the chief financial authority officer. So the lines of authority, responsibility, and so on are so absent. It means that it explains really some of the functioning issues. And in fact, the people who were responsible for writing the bylaws years ago have decided that they were a mistake, and that they that they went overboard in attempting to ensure democracy in a way that paralyzed the lines of authority, and so that there's those issues. Anyway, out of the retreat, there were two different lines of work that I noticed. One was the one that Bill is really interested in, which is the retreaters spreading the information. And I would like to volunteer if you'd be the person that those of us who are interested would contact. I'd like to sign up. And similarly, I think there are other issues. And if Sharon would be the contact person for that, I'd like to volunteer for that group too. And okay, my time's up. Wrap it up. That'll do it. I'm sure I'll be sorry afterwards. But Craig,
you can get back on the list.
Craig.
Well, I thought the workshop was really great. It served a really important educational role for all of us. Especially all of us who aren't economists or budget minders or, you know, bean counters and that sort of thing. For folks who weren't there, one segment of the workshop was the presentation by Sam, and I'm like, what's his last name again? The CFO, who I thought did a great job of putting things in context, and for me, just sort of calming me down, like there is a way out of this. I mean, that was one of his messages. There's a way out of this. Part of it is tightening up the accountability and the governance structure and so forth. But he did present as a context, and I thought some hope here moving forward, even though the situation is dire. One of the things we did was break into groups and do some brainstorming about possibilities, possible, you know, financial, you know, brilliant ideas. Frank, earlier in our meeting today, had mentioned something about pay-per-view. I mean, that was one idea Frank had raised. We asked Sam what his recommendation for the LSB might be, and he said, well, he recommended developing maybe 20% of the budget outside of the usual fundraising practices that we're following right now. So, in other words, you know, get 20% of our money from some other sources. And I was very interested and maybe a little alarmed to hear about what you had mentioned in your report earlier, Quincy, you know, selling the building next door or some limited underwriting. And that, again, is sort of outside the regular fundraising model. And I guess Sam's recommendation appealed to me because it's a clear goal for this LSB to shoot for, you know, 20% or even 10% or something. I mean, it gives us a clear goal, and I think that would be something that, as an LSB, we could adopt to get a committee together, try to find a way to generate money, you know, again, 10 or 20% outside our regular fundraising model. So anyway, that was another some more ideas that came out of the session, and I thought it was great, and I really applaud everybody who put all their hard work into organizing it.
I just got an incredible email about our archives going to the Library of Congress, which I can tell you about after Barbara, TM, and if Sabrina wants to take it up.
I also thought that it was a wonderful experience to have the retreat. So I'm echoing people whose names I will not say. And the things that I think were extremely important, there's a lot of important stuff, but the ones that keep hanging around in the front of my mind are the need to have smaller boards and have them have members who have at least some of the members who have specific skills, not just people who love KPFA and want to take a crack at trying to manage things. I think that's where we've had a lot of problems. I have for a long time been thoroughly turned off to the idea of any kind of underwriting. I'm one of the people that you'd probably call a purist about not having any advertising. However, Quincy mentioned something today that maybe somebody's said it before. I'm so turned off to the idea I didn't hear it, you know. But the idea that there might be underwriting only on the website, that means that the people who would contribute money and have their little logo there saying we support KPFA wouldn't have any way to influence the programs before they got on the website. And I think, wow, now that's a wrinkle I hadn't thought of. So I hate to admit it, but I'm here to confess that I would consider that version of underwriting, but I would expect our lawyers to write wonderful things that the advertisers would sign that, you know, they totally understand that that they're limited to that. In fact, I don't want them to have long ads. They could have logos or, you know, something very simple. Anyway, and then I want to say one other thing about a different time when the LSB had another retreat, a special workshop that was not open to the public, and it was it was practically 2 years ago. It was May in 2014. And this was a wonderful experience for all the people who attended. And it was an anti-racism workshop. And it was led by Samsara Morgan and someone by the name of Nicole, that she does this work with. And nobody objected then. And I think that these types of programs are
30 seconds.
This kind of addition to our meetings, our regular meetings, is something that is going to help us survive and help Pacifica and KPFA survive.
Hi. Yeah, I learned a lot at the retreat, and I think everyone who was there would agree with that. Just in general, you know that expression, not seeing the forest for the trees. So if we want to all be careful to not become so fascinated with identifying the exact genus of the tree in front of us, then we don't see all of the forest because we can smell the smoke from the forest fire. I'm trying to keep this moving in those directions that, in the spirit that the retreat had. One just small point, and I'd be happy to cede to you, Bill, on this, but going to the Attorney General, my understanding is that it's not necessarily that we've come because we have no other choice and we throw ourselves at your knee. And, please tell us how to remake ourselves, But it's also a matter of just approaching them to tell them that, we are doing things, and by the way, what do you understand you think you're going to do? It's like feeling them out to try and get information from them and see where they're coming from instead of like letting the process continue within the Attorney General's office without any contact from Pacifica or KPFA directly. So that, it's a tactical decision. And so there's an in-between thing. Yeah. And I think, and you know that. I just want to make sure we didn't get left with that impression. Yeah, right. Okay. As far as underwriting, the problem with underwriting is usually not that there's a one-to-one type correspondence where influence gets peddled. It's direct. It's more that kind of subtle thing. We're here and we're helping you out. And, that story about us, because we're related to Monsanto, we didn't really like that story. But we're not going to tell you anything, but then maybe someone will tell someone. That's the way it works. The history of underwriting in nonprofit media tends to be more of almost subconscious self-censorship as opposed to the group calls in and says, we're pulling our money if you run that story again. That's just not the way. They're more sophisticated, unfortunately, in how that works. And the donors dinner thing, that relates back to a lot of this kind of general issue. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm kind of new here. At KPFA, I'm just speaking for KPFA, feels like they don't want to do an outreach that would then target people with a lot of funds, that are richer, because it would represent, it would speak against the egalitarian politics that we have and we try to promote. On the other hand, it's not realistic to not recognize we're a fish swimming in a capitalist sea. So Mother Jones, for example, has an annual dinner, and I was just curious, what are these animals? And I went over there and went to one of those dinners, and I have to tell you, it's amazing to be around a place where all these people have money and they're all supporting something that's really very progressive. So that is something that, stroking large-scale donors in one way or another is something we ought to seriously consider.
All right. I had Sabrina, and if you want to get back on, and then Brian, and then I think we've gone well beyond the 30 minutes. Okay. And so Sabrina, you want to, you want to talk?
Want to talk?
Sure. Thank you, Carol. Yeah, I really, really, really leaning towards the underwriting possibility. Hold on, let me turn down my speaker here. The underwriting possibility as, you know, to help with the short-term money issue. And as far as going to the AG, I don't know. I mean, how can we put a motion forth right now as far as getting an opinion poll or getting a poll of everybody that's in the meeting right now in regards to going to the AG or not going to the AG? Thanks, Carol. Thanks. Vice Chair Ramses?
Yeah, I'm here, Sabrina. What's your request again?
What needs to happen to put a motion forth to request a poll of everyone that's at the meeting now, whether or not they feel it feasible to go to the AG in an informational way or not go to the AG in an informational way?
Let me defer to Margie. Get the mic.
I think my personal opinion is that we ought to have a committee of volunteers to look into that and bring a proposal back to the July meeting. That would be my, like, rather than,
task force,
group of volunteers, a working group. Mm-hmm. And I would be happy to be in charge of that. Like if people contacted me and said they wanted to meet, I would help coordinate a meeting, and we could talk about what it seems to me that we need to know what the purpose would be, how it would be done. Get some advice from people who have some experience, like that. So does that answer your question, Sabrina?
Yes, it does. I would be more than happy to work with you on that. That would be great.
Great, thank you.
So, Sabrina, did you...
Thank you.
Are you done with your comment then?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Oh, are you finished with your comment?
Yes, I'm finished with my comment, Randy. Thank you.
All right, so I got a couple of hands. We were about to close up and move on to the next part of the agenda. Okay, I saw Brian, and then, brother, remember your name again? Tim. Okay, Brian and Tim, and then I urge us to then move to Leland.
No, it's not. Frank always turns my mic off. He thinks he's chairman.
All right. So Carol, the chair, is back.
And Sabrina, I apologize. This is something for posterity since it's being recorded, but I'm taking diuretics for my blood pressure, and it puts me in a bad place. Leila.
My feelings are hurt, Carol. My feelings are hurt.
Okay. Well, I have so many notes, and I know it's past 3 minutes. It'll be past 3 minutes, but I won't go past there. The first thing, I don't know if anyone has ever read a book called The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. And I use that book a lot because as a consultant, I'm called in to work with teams who are in a state of disarray. And the first level in The Five Dysfunctions of the Team is an absence of trust. And if you can't get past that, you can't go anywhere as a team, as an organization. And then you have this... a level of accountability that has to happen once you gain trust with people. And that the absence of trust usually comes about when people can't let go. You can't let go of an idea. You can't let go of something that happened in the past. You just can't let go. And in order to move, there's a saying that the past is done with you the moment you're done with it. So if you can't let it go, it's still going to fester itself and bring itself up. Like it's bringing itself up here, it brought itself up in the retreat a little bit, and I've seen it seep to the top in every meeting that I've participated in. And we really have to let that go. We have to let it go, and individuals have to let it go, whatever the grievances are of the past and all that good stuff. Because I decided to become a part of this because I wanted to help it grow and evolve. Everyone in this room has said the same thing. They want to help it grow and evolve. But we can't if we're steady holding on to that string from the past. It will not grow, and that's a guarantee. I usually sign teams up to work with them from 6 to 9 months. In 6 to 9 months, we can usually get to a place where that team is running and going where they need to go. And it's going to, sometimes it takes 12 to 24 months for them as individuals without me to continue to go. I look at this right now, where since January, it's been about 6 months, and I think we're still spinning our wheels on some of the same things. Truly spinning our wheels, and we will never gain traction. I think a bigger retreat is a great idea. I will volunteer for something like that. Because if it can do what we did that day we had a retreat and gain some traction, I think a greater retreat as a whole is the best way to go. You know, and whatever it takes, I think we should do whatever it takes to get there. We cannot allow ourselves to be paralyzed by policy and procedure. Policy and procedure and bylaws are guidelines. They're like the bumper rails at a bowling alley for a kid. They're guidelines to keep you out of the gutter, but not to stagnate you from moving forward as an organization. And I think we need to look at that. So the idea of revisiting the governance laws of the organization is a brilliant idea. Not that everything needs to be taken away, but it just needs to be looked at again. Because times have changed, organizations have changed, you know, society as a whole has changed, and we need to figure out what we need to do to sort of step up to where times are right now. It's a struggle. You know, if we were a household and we were in jeopardy, say we were short our rent, we don't have 6 months to think about getting our rent. Right. We have to deal with it right now and make hard, fast decisions. And I think if we continue to sort of nitpick at each other with things like that, we won't get to that point. So my thought is, really, you know, we set up a committee, we try to get a retreat going, we focus on major issues, and we just move forward, and we let go, you know, we have to say we're done with the past, because it won't be done with us if we don't say it. And that's pretty much what
great.
I want to say.
Great, thank you. Good one. Brian Tim Ramses.
I wanted to propose moving on to our next agenda item. I think we're going to be spinning our wheels until people get together after the meeting and start making concrete proposals for our next one.
Can I just make one quick comment before
sure.
we do that, please?
Go ahead.
So I approached two different small foundations for small grants while in recent months, and both found I was going to say a tough sell, but they were a no sell. And I think that the unity that I'm hearing here is something I have not heard from a KPFA board. I'm not that I was on the board, but I've been following for a long time. I have not heard this kind of unity and spirit of cooperation ever since I started following it. I think if we can somehow find a way to sort of communicate out that there is this sort of at least attempt at unity and cooperation and bridging former divides, that we might find approaching these foundations as with a better chance of selling, getting grants.
Ramses, and that's it.
Yeah, I just want to say and I appreciate is it Leland. Your name, Leland. Thank you for that. It reminded me that we're actually at my union. We're actually doing like a kind of heavy third-party person facilitating our leadership into creating a program for the next 2 years and everything, right, especially since we're facing a lot of challenges there in labor, not just our union, but all of organized labor. And, you know, maybe we can start thinking about extension of what a retreat would be, right, because you said something that I hadn't really thought about in this setting, which is team, right? And I'm not sure we're there as a team yet. Maybe we're a lot closer after this magical retreat I keep hearing about that happened. But I know when I first arrived, it was more like, you know, it was more like the NBA finals I've been hearing. it was like two teams at least, you know, trying to be champions. So how do we become one team, I think, would be, in my opinion, the first part of moving towards making a plan together as a team. Right? I don't know if we're identifying as a team yet. I think we can and we must, especially with the challenges that are ahead of us.
I thought that was the last one. You're going to be the last unless somebody else comes from the... And then we're moving on. Oh, and Craig. Does, and everybody wants to go around there. Okay. Is that where... I'm going to take a straw poll. How many... This is a straw poll to direct me. How many of us want to move on? How many of us want to go around with the remaining sentiments?
I have something new.
Can we just close the stack after Craig?
Yes. We're going to close the stack after Craig. Oh, Janet. After Janet. We're going to give Janet the voice of togetherness, the last word.
Stop doing that.
Okay. Okay. You're right. I apologize.
So here's a really wild idea. Since we are... since factions seem to be breaking down and apart a bit, and we have a board election coming up, why don't we talk about having one slate? Or something approaching that, rather than having two different factions each putting up a slate or a partial slate in common that we feel that we can back. Why don't we just... brew on it. We don't have a whole lot of time to spend thinking about that, but I think it would be a great idea.
Craig?
Well, I know we've been talking for a while about this, and I don't want to prolong things, but we've got some momentum here, and I mean, what are we going to do?
We've got three groups of volunteers.
Do we want to make a formal proposal about that, or what? So maybe somebody could just repeat what these groups are and who to get in touch with and how people can volunteer so we can do something and move forward and actually, you know, get something
My
done.
Understanding, and this may be incorrect, but my understanding is that Bill Campisi is a contact person for people who are interested in discussing something like a retreat or, you know, extending that kind of informational base and agreement to other stations and between stations, and that Sharon was a person who is a point person for people who are interested in volunteering between now and the July meeting. I think that this is focused on and hopes of some sense of something in the July agenda around the other things that came out, the various other things that came out in the retreat, which I think is probably finances, governance, AG, and it may be archives, money-making prospects, and so on. That's my understanding. Does anybody else have another one? Okay. So there's two groups. There's Bill and Sharon, and people who are interested in those subjects will get in touch with them pretty immediately so that there can be something maybe for July. And I think somebody mentioned that one of the outreach to membership might be the CAB meeting, and that we would maybe at our July 9th meeting, Bill, your group might have something that we would take to the CAB. And Sabrina, I don't know if Sabrina.
Yeah, Sabrina volunteered.
Okay, good, Sabrina. And Janet. And apologies to Janet.
Okay, thank you. As far as membership goes, each person is a member of their station. They're not a member of Pacifica, just to clarify that. When it comes to the bylaws being kind of guidelines, they're like the constitution of Pacifica. And so if people, for example, with the government don't want to follow laws, then I mean, what's the law, the constitution is the law of the land unless it's changed. In any case, I just want to close by inviting any of you who have issues with me to have a dialogue with me one-on-one, and I'm just inviting you to get to know me and likewise. And I'll send out my contact information, my phone number. I think you probably already have it.
Okay. Thank you. Treasurer's report.
I
since the treasurer.
What?
I was going to propose that the break, which is scheduled for 1:30, really would be better to take it now because the treasurer's report is a couple of things. There's a treasurer's report, and then there's a beginning session on preparing the budget for next year.
I think everybody agrees. And we're hoping that either Brian will go to KPFA or Bill will run home and print out the policy that was the remote access policy so that we could take that up. It's all there. Okay. We are now adjourned until... What time?
10 of.
10 of. That'll mean 5 of, but 10 of. 10 of.
You people who are on remote, I would say, 5 of, you're safe.